All right, thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to call the meeting to order. Please join me as we stand for a moment of silence and then the Pledge of Allegiance. Thank you. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. May we have a roll call, please? Where'd she go? I lost Christine. Did we lose her?
I mean, we can't be that bad. You lost her after the Pledge of Allegiance.
I have a message that she went off. Okay. May we ask Bernadette to step in and we can get roll call and we'll do a motion and to put Bernadette on and then go forward?
Want me to say as necessary for the remainder of 2021 and we'll just...
All right. That works for me. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Mrs. Rohr.
Okay, so let's do a roll call.
Thank you.
Dr. Good?
I am present.
Jay?
Yes.
Mrs. Rohr is present. Mr. DeAngelis?
Present.
Mrs. Fenn?
Present, thank you. I am making a motion and I will need a second, please, to approve Bernadette Rohr as president pro or treasurer pro tem for this meeting.
Second.
Thank you. We'll need a roll call.
Mrs. Fenn?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Dr. Good?
Yay.
Mr. DeAngelis?
Yes.
Mrs. Rohr is a yay.
Thank you. Moving to C. Motion to approve the March 30, 2021 agenda with corrections, additions, deletions. We need a motion, please.
Motion.
Thank you. And a second, please.
Here.
Thank you. Roll call.
I'm back. Who motioned? I'm sorry.
Jay motioned and Rohr second.
Okay. You said Dr. Good?
Jay.
Oh,
Mr. Hershberger.
Okay. Mr. Hershberger. Mrs. Rohr.
Yay.
Mr. DeAngelis.
Yes.
Mr. Good.
Yay.
And Mrs. Fenn.
Yes. All right. Thank you. Well, Mr. Osborne, take it away, sir.
All righty. First of all, I'd like to welcome Ted. I didn't see Eric. Is Eric with us tonight?
He had a conflict for the beginning of this, so he'll be joining us in a few minutes.
Yeah. Ted from Garmin-Miller is here, and the team from the Green Space Construction Services is here. They have the big GCS on the back, so they're easy to identify there with that. So we'd like to welcome them. We're going to give them the floor to present. They'll introduce themselves. I'm assuming the lead of your team will introduce everybody that's with you. The board is here to listen to your presentation. They've all have a copy of the booklet or more likely the link and had a chance to review that. So we look forward to hearing from you and we'll put you on the clock as soon as you want to take over.
All right. Well, thank you so much. Well, we've got quite a group here. So we're pretty excited to be here. Thank you again for shortlisting us and allowing us to come and tell you a little bit about ourselves. We think we've got the team for this project. We've got a great team. The first thing I need to do though is make apologies for Tu. She could not be here tonight. So unfortunately you have to listen to me instead of her, and she's a much better presenter than I am, but we're gonna try and muddle through. Would it be okay if I shared my screen for our presentation and we will introduce
us
to that? Okay.
Chief, there you go.
Getting here. groups. Okay, does everybody see that?
Yes.
Ah, great. Thank you. Again, thank you for having us here today. As I said, two would be here normally doing this part of the presentation, but I will do my best to muddle through. So I'm Mike Scaparotti. I will be filling in for two and hitting up our pre-construction services here at GCS.
Hi, I'm Brian Malinsky, the project manager for the team here.
And I'm John Orsini. I'm with BSHM Architects. I'm the principal in charge.
And I'm Steve Javorek in what's a much younger looking picture.
So again, we realize you have a rating sheet. So we took a hard look at that. You see it projected on the left side here. We're gonna make sure that we hit all the categories that are in there, maybe not exactly in that order. But our presentation is designed to tell you a little bit about us and our team, but really to dig in a little bit more into your project, see how we envision it going forward, and hopefully convince you to allow us to be the ones to shepherd it through. You're going to see these little key points that pop up. Sometimes I forget to hit the button, they come up late, but when they do come up, it's sort of the point that we want to leave you with the slide that we're presenting. First, a little bit about ourselves. We've been doing school construction for a very long time. I've got almost 50 years in the business, and the largest portion of that was doing K-12 buildings. So you'll see that, you know, we've got about $3 billion worth of K-12 experience, not including our direct construction experience. This is all either managed or it's design build projects. But more important than that broader spectrum is what's happened since 2012, when the state changed its delivery method to at-risk construction, whether it's CM at risk or whether it's design build, they work very much the same. And we've done almost $1 billion since 2012 in that environment. So we think we really bring more experience to the table with schools, with at-risk construction of schools. And you'll see that from where the dot is, you'll see that we also have lots of experience in the districts that are neighboring your districts down in Wayne County and Stark County and Summit County. So we know the area very well.
Yeah, and this is John with BSHM.
Let me interrupt you just for a second, John, and that I will say that there was no hesitation from us when we saw that this was a design build contract to know who to reach out to be our design partners. Our history with them is extensive and they just do great work.
Thank you, Mike. Like Mike said, we've worked with GCS for I'll say decades. How's that, Mike? For a long time, and we're currently working with them on about five or six different projects. As you can see, BSHM has extensive experience in K-12 projects. We've been doing, like Mike said, you know, CMR and design build projects for the last 10 years. So, and we've been in collaboration with GreenSpace this year on three different projects.
Yeah, and here's a listing of the school districts that we've worked together on. It's very extensive. It goes back many, many years to people who were at the firm, John, that you may never have even met, I'm not sure. But it's been a great experience. And it's important because you just can't force a marriage and deliver a good project. You really need to have that collaborative nature. You have to understand each other, understand how they work, know what's expected from one another. And that's one of the things that we do with this team. This is our organization chart. And I'm going to talk just a little bit about the executive committee, and then I'll get out of the way and turn this over to Brian. But we see that as a very critical part of the process. I'm really glad that all the board members are here that we've got community involvement even within this presentation here, because it's that core committee that makes the decisions, that gives Brian and everybody below him their marching orders on what we want to do. It's where we talk about what things are most important. And it's not just about, you know, delivering this on time and on budget, but making sure that the programming fits right, that we're delivering it in the way you want, that everybody's safe on site, that the education process goes through. All those things are discussed there. And so we are, we're not sure who's going to be on it from your team. We've identified Todd, of course, and there's oftentimes some board members. Ted would certainly be part of it. We need his input as the criteria architect, but we will always have a principal available at every one of those meetings. But your key point of contact through the entire project, whether we're in design or we're in construction, is Brian Malinsky.
Thanks, Mike. So thanks for having me tonight and for listening to us and giving us this opportunity. I'm thrilled for this opportunity because I'm a Stark County resident, and it's close. It's relatively close as far as school construction goes to my residence. But I've been in the business for 18 years doing nothing but school construction with this organization. Done a lot of work with the BSHM very recently. And again, I will be the point of contact the whole way through. You will see others, though. I can't do it alone. We have a great design team that we mentioned, and John introduced himself and said a little bit about his team. And as we go into pre-construction, we have Mike handles all the pre-construction services. We have an in-house estimator. We have estimating support, consulting, and we also have a scheduler available to us. Steve, as you've met and you'll meet a little later, he will be our superintendent on site. We'd also team him with another superintendent due to the two projects going concurrently. We also have an administrator and safety officer available to us for this project. So enough about us. Let's talk about your project. So schedule. First and foremost, we believe this is a very achievable schedule. The way it needs to happen in our minds is to run both projects concurrently. And while it's achievable, we realize there's challenges must-dos, and which are getting out of the gate early. So upon award, we would immediately get our hazardous materials consultant out there, perform the assessment at this intermediate school, get that done quickly. At the same time, John and his team would be feverishly working to take the documents, the criteria documents created by Garmin Miller, to a point where we can feel comfortable at giving a guaranteed maximum price to present to the school board for approval. That has to happen quickly. Concurrently, we would get an abatement contractor on board so that we can award to them, jump out of the gate, get the abatement done in the summer this year, and then get the rest of the project's bid or the work bid so that we can really hit it hard at the end of the summer, get ourselves established in that building, and kind of get everything prepared so that we can work in phase construction throughout the school year, taking the various areas over one at a time. We don't feel like that's going to take us all the way to the end of the school year. So as you can see, there's a gap there. And then we jump back in the summer of 22 to finish up what we might have to get in some of the occupied areas and also with the site work. Now, over to the high school, same thing. We really have to get out of the gate quickly, get those documents prepared, get them to a point where we can bid them. There we would bring, we would select a pre-engineered metal building contractor early. That's the structure for the gymnasium. They get them on board early enough, they can engineer that and get it on order. There are extremely long lead times right now on those buildings. So we need to make that happen in order to get that building on time so that we can complete the schedule as shown. The rest of the schedule is pretty straightforward. It's it runs us through August of 2022. You know, in summer of 21, we would look to attack the underground utilities that we know have to be moved in order to construct this gymnasium, and also kind of establish the traffic patterns there on the high school site so that when students and staff come back in the next school year, they're prepared and everything's set up and ready for that change in traffic pattern. But again, we do feel this is a very achievable schedule.
Yeah, and just to clarify, that is up to August, not through August of 22. So basically, we would be substantially complete at the end of July, and certainly achievable.
So Brian had mentioned, you know, some of the process that we've went through as a project team before. One of the first things that we'll do, and you could see some of the services that we provide, is just sort of validate everything that the district went through, have discussions to make sure that the design meets the criteria drawings and that it's based on an understanding of what the district wants. In addition to that, you know, we work hand in hand with Green Space on providing documentation so that things like the pre-engineered metal building could be bid prior to documents being complete. So we understand, along with Green Space, the importance of getting things out in packages so that the project can continue on schedule.
And all this, you know, you're going to hear us throughout talk about collaboration, because we think that's the key to success in any project. And it's not just collaboration between our team members, but us collaborating with Ted and his team, the district and their team and their users, to make sure that as good as those criteria documents are, that we understand what was driving it, so we don't mistake anything going forward, but deliver exactly what's needed for your program. And we've just been doing this forever, so you get people who are skilled at it and who really engage in that process.
Okay, so a big element of the process is cost. You know, money drives everything. Our vast experience in school construction, you know, has taught us what a cost model for a school should look like. We work with treasurers all the time, school districts. We know their needs. We know their what they're up against. Here, we assume there needs to be some certification process of where these dollars are all going in order to satisfy your loan requirements. But we're really here to help in that process and guide that process and really provide guidance to Christine in balancing the books.
So the process really starts and is driven by our estimating process. And that's the one thing we think we do better than anybody else. It's also quite critical for us to do it well, because we're going to sign a guaranteed maximum price, so we got to be able to deliver. But more importantly, it needs to be accurate so that we are not too conservative and leaving things on the table that could be part of the project. We are, I think, second to none in terms of experience in doing estimates for these projects that guard our design team and make sure that at the end of the day, we bring our projects in. Now, what you see on the screen here, and you know, it's probably hard to read, but this is the summary of our estimate that we provided for the intermediate school on the left. On the right is one of the detailed sheets. We also have a breakdown of all the summary of the alternates. Hopefully Ted has shared the detailed estimate that we sent under separate cover to him with you, so that you can see the level of detail that we went through with this. Similar, here's the one for the gymnasium, which does the same thing. Now, these were created in a vacuum, and that's not the way we typically work. So when we get on board, the first thing we'll do is we'll go through every line item with Ted and his team and make sure that our assumptions are leading down the proper path of where his criteria documents were guiding us to make sure we get it all right. Ultimately, it's that collaboration of all of us working together that's going to make sure that we come out on budget. Through that process, we're going to be looking at alternatives. We're going to be doing what's called value engineering, which is, you know, a way to find more efficient, more effective ways of bringing more value to the project. A couple of thoughts that we had that, you know, we'd like to explore up front. On the right-hand side, you'll see that picture of that steel frame. That's a frame for a pre-engineered building, which right now is the design concept for the auxiliary gymnasium. These have traditionally been very cost-effective. They're usually delivered pretty promptly. They've been great for a lot of projects exactly like this. We use them a lot on field houses on our various school projects. But what we found lately, and honestly, we've had two school projects in the last 3 weeks that have had pre-engineered metal buildings as part of them, is that the skyrocketing steel prices that are going on right now are pushing these things up to where they're not necessarily more cost-effective than traditional construction. It's worth at least a conversation between ourselves and Garmin Miller's folks to talk about what a traditional structure might look like here instead of pre-engineered, and let us do a quick cost study and see whether or not there's some advantages to going that way. On the two projects that we just bid, we are doing that. We're actually going back to conventional construction on both. But that's not to say that this is still not going to be the best solution here, is to stick with the PEMB. The other thing that we're looking at, and you see this little drawing at the bottom, I don't know if you could see my cursor, but you know, it shows the addition to the intermediate school and the roof structure shown as bar joists going over to the existing building. Well, thanks to Jeff Bezos building his massive warehouses all over the country, you can't get bar joists right now. They're just not available. So in our cost study, we use more traditional framing there. So we use post and beam construction instead of the bar joists. I think it also helps us against the existing building wall, where we're not going to have as much concern about tying it into an existing wall that was not necessarily designed for the additional load. But those are the kinds of things we want to explore with your team, make sure we're on the right path as we go forward. So, you know, how did we get good at this stuff? Well, I will tell you that about three, almost 4 years now ago, a tremendous amount of work hit the K-12 market in Ohio, especially up here in Northern Ohio. Right around us, we saw $1 billion worth of work hit the pipeline at the same time. It really created havoc across districts all over the state that were trying to get their work done. OFCC projects were coming in 10 to 15% over their published budgets. It was a challenge for everybody. The good news is that more than half of that work, almost $600 million of that $1 billion worth of work, we were involved with. So we got to understand the market really well, but more importantly, working together with John and his group on so many of these, because we were partnered up with BSHM on so many, we found the creative solutions to make sure we could deliver every one of these buildings with its full program within the available dollars that the districts had. So we find the solutions. We find the ways to make sure they make them work. We just did it recently. This is actually a rendering of Firelands High School that we're doing right now with John. It's under construction, but it did about 8 weeks ago. And we had tremendous participation from the marketplace. We were able to get every alternate in on this project at the published budget. So very happy school district down there, because we were able to pull it all together. That's what we expect to do here as well.
So Mike had mentioned a lot there. One of the things that the project team does, and by project team, you know, he mentioned the criteria architect, Garmin Miller, as well as the district, is you know, we look at, it's a back and forth process between all involved to find the most economical approach to fulfill the needs of the district. And that's really what we do, right? We looked at the budget already to see where the costs were. And as you can see, Mike and Brian and Steve all thought the process through and made recommendations. And that's how we do it. You know, we go back and forth amongst the team members.
Yeah, so through that collaborative process, we create a very good, tight set of bid documents. And it meets your needs. I mean, it meets what the district's looking for and checks all the boxes. And then we take those and ready to go out for bid. So let's get into that a little bit. So yes, you award a contract to your design builder, but we don't just build it all. We bid it out. Our bid packages are range typically anywhere from about 20 to 30. They're divided up appropriately for the project. You can see kind of our typical bid packaging plan. If approved by the district, we do self-perform our own carpentry work, doors and hardware, interior and specialties. What that does is gives us a good understanding of cost and quality. And we don't just award ourselves the work either. We bid it just like everybody, all these other packages, and we bid against other contractors. And if they're the low number, we very well hire them and recommend to hire them. So again, by self-performing and performing all this school work, we have a very good understanding of the cost and quality of the project.
And if I could just add a comment to that. So by statute, the way it works within the state is if with your agreement, we do bid on a package, that bid goes into you 4 hours before all the other bids are due to us. So it's not like we have the opportunity to see what the bids are and then, you know, come in underneath it. So you get our bid directly, all the rest of the bids come into us, and then we compare them after the fact to see whether or not we're actually low, although we oftentimes are.
So when we're bidding, we have the ability to engage both union and merit open shop contracts. And we do so. Many of our projects, all of our projects are a mix of both. With our experience in Wayne, Summit, Stark County, we know the contractors in the area. We're going to try to maximize the local participation whenever we can. We can even tailor our bid packaging to allow local contractors to bid a certain element of the work. But we don't just open it up to everybody. We want to have competition, but we want it to be a good group of contractors competing against one another. And we do that through our subcontractor pre-qualification process. We look at their ability to perform the work, their past experience, safety record, financial history, and ability to perform a work that aligns with what we're doing, trying to achieve here in Chippewa.
And, you know, the process that we've established for this makes it easy for contractors to participate. So on our website, you would have your own section of our website would be dedicated to Chippewa schools. And on it, you would find our bid package breakdown, similar to the screenshot that you see here. And, you know, within each one of the packages, when you click on them, the contractors can see all the detail of what's going on it. But it's also the place where they go and they fill on our online pre-qualification form. We go through all the detail that Brian mentioned to make sure that we can make a recommendation to you that these are contractors that we would like to participate. If you've had bad experiences with them, then we don't want them. We want to take them out. If you've had somebody who's been a very good player and you want to make sure that they have an opportunity to participate, we want to know that as well. But ultimately, the district approves our list of pre-qualified contractors before we go forward. Once we've got our bid packages together, we've got our pre-qualified contractors line up, the way the process works is, you know, we said before, you know, we've got our criteria documents, go to the GMP documents, you approve our guaranteed maximum price, we finish the documents, we put it out for bid, and then we accept bids. And this sheet here is the actual bid tab that came in on Chippewa schools. This is all done online now. We have electronic bid forms that they submit, and we collect bids and we share them with you so you understand where the costs are going. Because, you know, again, you had, you know, five or six alternates, for instance, that you wanted to consider. You want to know whether or not there's enough money under the GMP to be able to accept those. So that first look at it will give you an idea. But then we meet with every one of these contractors and go through a very thorough scope review to make sure that they've got everything included. And if they don't, we make sure that they revise their bids to include it. And then we send you an updated bid tab with a recommendation of the subcontractors we would like to award to. And that's kind of how the process goes. Once you agree with that, we get them on board. We take all that data, and that's contract data, that's submittals, that's all that kind of stuff, all goes into a tool that we call Procore. It is called Procore, which is a web-based management tool that you will have access to as well. So if you want to see how far along we are in the schedule, you click on here. If you want to see how far along we are in payments to our subcontractors, you click on here. If you want to see RFIs that go between our construction side and our design side, you'll see that as well. Submittals going through, all that stuff is collected here, and it's available to you as well as a member of the project team.
Okay, so when we look at a project such as this, you know, every project of ours, safety is of utmost importance. And safety isn't just for our workers. I mean, it's for everybody on these active sites. We are no stranger to working on occupied school sites. It's what we do. Most schools are built next to another school, and many times we're attaching and adding on to buildings, just as we are looking to do here. The site layout's very important. As you see here, is kind of our first stab of site layout at the intermediate school. You know, you start by putting perimeter fencing around the site. And we know that it's important for these kids to get out and play. So we don't want to impede on that playground any more than is necessary. So we look at this from a standpoint that we want to meet with you. We want to meet with, you know, the staff at the school and determine what you need and what you want, and then we work around that. We don't come in and say this is what we're doing and this is how you're going to operate for the next year. So that's a collaborative process as well, and that whole process is really to keep students and staff and parents and everybody safe.
Well, because first and foremost, you know, we want to be a good neighbor. That's our policy. We want to make the construction work that happens in your sites as seamless as possible. As Brian alluded to, we take a stab at how we would lay a site out and what we think would work for the construction zones and access and that. But we don't do that without collaborating with the district, with the principals and the staff, to make sure that they have anything special involved in that we accommodate it. We're accessible too. At the bottom of the slide, you'll see that phone number. That's my cell phone, which I have on me 24 hours a day. And that number goes to everyone in the district that would want to have it. And you feel free to call me if there's anything that you see coming up. Some of these examples, if it's dusty or if it's mud from traffic, or if there's an issue with traffic in general at the site, call me, let me know. And we're right there to take care of it. Again, we are there to be a good neighbor to the district. Safety. Brian had mentioned safety. Obviously, that is the most important thing in a school site. both for the workers we have and more importantly for your students and your staff. As such, we have a comprehensive safety program written that every contractor that we would give a contract to has to sign off on that program. And we are adamant that they follow that. Some of the things in it are, you know, we use identification badges. So all of our workers that come onto the site are readily identified as being there. And if they're not, they're not on the site. FBI background checks, FBI or BIC background checks are mandatory for anyone working with us. We're a drug-free workplace, and any contractor outside of ourselves and the ones we hire have to have either a 10-hour or 30-hour OSHA training. Again, safety, safety, safety. Our dedicated officer, Shanina, is wonderful. She will come out to the site regularly and make sure that the site looks up to snuff. And if there's any questions, she's there to work us through it.
So we've also learned how to handle the challenges in a COVID environment. We had a lot of projects going on when this thing hit a little over a year ago. And I'm happy to say that we were very early adopters of the protocols that ended up, most of them became part of the state's enhanced protocols that they issued. But we already had 90% of those underway. The important thing was is that we kept our people safe, but we also kept our projects going. So all of those projects continued to work through the process. We didn't have to extend their schedules. We may have had to work a weekend or something like that to make up for lost time because maybe a crew was diminished because of the, you know, illness and that kind of stuff. But in every case, we were able to turn our buildings over on time without impact to the district.
Quality. This is where we stand out, in my opinion, from anyone else. Making sure we give you a quality building. If you look on the left side, there are some of the items. These are all procedures that we have in place to make sure that everything that goes into the building is done in the right way. We hold pre-installation conferences to make sure that everything that the contractor says they're doing is what's required and what's in our documents and your documents. Punch list, 11-month walkthroughs, but something Brian alluded to before, the fact that we do self-perform work gives us that leg of, we know what's supposed to happen. We know how the building is supposed to be built. And it makes us very aware of keeping the quality under control. Plus, when the building's done, we don't go anywhere. We're your advocate, you know, long after completion. I've recently been back to a building we did 3 or 4 years ago because I got a phone call. And they said they had a question about something. And I stopped by and talked to the people there and you know, helped them out. So we don't go away. That's a big part of it.
So throughout the whole process, we are in constant communication with the district, as we've mentioned multiple times now. And the way we communicate is really up to you. You may prefer that myself or somebody attends the board meetings on a regular basis. Maybe you don't want that. Maybe you just want monthly status reports that are customized to meet your needs, tell you what you want to know and nothing more, nothing less. Maybe you want both. We can accommodate, and we're here to communicate through this whole process and really keep you in the know so that when the community asks questions, you have intelligent answers and you can speak you know, well about the project, and keeps you very informed and with very understandable information.
And we take that more broadly as well. So we certainly understand the need to communicate directly with the district, your client. But we also understand when our clients like to involve the greater community and like to keep them apprised of what's going on. And we love to do that. We're very proud of what we do, and we're happy to share it, whether it's hard hat tours, whether it's a groundbreaking event, whether it's a final raising of the steel, or it's a dedication ceremony. We're happy to throw a party. We're happy to be a part of that process. We have done cable news, local cable channels, with the district superintendents, where we just get on once a month and talk about the projects or the people in the community who want to log on will see it. So again, however you'd like to see us interact with you in that, we're happy to do it, and we will communicate the way you'd like us to. One of the other things that, again, if you're interested, we love to involve the kids in the process. We've had young kids come out to watch a concrete pour. At a recent job, they all did some artwork on a stone that ended up underneath the gym floor. We've signed beams. We have taken kids, we can go up to Wayne County Schools Career Center, and we know these places from having worked at Oroville and Worcester and Dalton and so on, and get those students out and actually get them onto the job if they want to see some real life experience. Or like we did in the left-hand corner there at Plains Glen Oak, the kids actually built that long walkway and outdoor classroom there to study what goes on out in the wetlands. So again, that's something we're very happy to do and to accommodate. So this is our last slide here. Maybe if when we're done with our presentations and the questions and answers, you can give us 1 minute to kind of close before we go away. We understand that this is a big deal. This is a very important part of what you've got to do in your district in order to make everything work. You've got to close a building that no longer functions well, that's too expensive to keep running, but you need to have a great place for your students to go. You need to make sure that the education process continues while all that goes on. Everybody is going to tell you they can deliver on time and on budget, and they should. I mean, that's sort of a minimal expectation. We'd like to make sure that we're listening closely enough, that we're dedicated enough to deliver beyond that, to give you all the goals that you're looking for, to make sure that the way the building functions at the end of the day is what you expected. It doesn't leave you scratching your head 2 years later saying, I'm not sure why we did this way. This makes no sense. So I think we bring that kind of experience and dedication to the table better than anybody else. I know we would love to be on your team for this project. I know we can deliver it for your budget, and I know we can deliver it on time, but I know we'll take it beyond that. And I know once you work with us, you won't want to work with anybody else. So with that, we'll open it up for questions.
All right. Thank you, Michael. I appreciate it. A lot of the questions that we've asked previously, you already answered. So good work with that. One of the things it's come up that I kind of looked at with the additions, we've looked at either natural lighting or different types of lighting, you know, when on the add-on at CIS. Is that something that you've already planned for, thought about, or kicked around as an alternative?
Well, you certainly have, and maybe John should be answering this, but you certainly have some challenges at the intermediate school because of those internal classrooms that you have. I mean, there are ways of getting natural light in there through, you know, roof monitors and various things like that. Certainly all the new classrooms that are on the perimeter, they're easy to put in the glass and make sure that you've got natural light coming in there. But and you can also, you know, transfer some light through borrowed light frames inside, but it is a challenge. John, do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, you know, there are the, just like Mike said, I mean, we could bring light in from above. You could also look at clear story light in some of those spaces. What really starts to talk about the roof form, and it gets into other items like cost associated with that kind of stuff. But there are opportunities that we could look into That particular building, some of the other rooms that we're renovating, especially the tiered classroom, also really don't have any natural light in them. Same thing, I believe the wrestling room has very limited stuff in it. So it's part of the project that we can start to investigate and see how we can make it manageable, right, in regards to everything, schedule, budget, time frame. So that these kids, right, because that's what we talk about as the students and the staff get the best space that we can give them.
Thank you. I know I have some board members that usually have questions here.
This is JJ, but he answered pretty much everything I've been asking the other people. So well played.
Thank you.
You know, it's interesting because I was going to say the same thing, Jay. There was a slide in there when you went through your bid packages that answered my question about would your bid package be offered to people, you know, since there's a good bit of fill coming in and concrete going out, is that part of the bid package? And I saw that in one of your screenshots.
Yeah, there's quite a grade change there at the high school that we're going to have to be dealing with. So that's not uncommon for a lot of the projects that we have. And trying to make sure that you package things up so that sometimes we've had projects where we've had a one building site needs fill and one has cuts and so on. So we were able to sort of balance those out that way. But that's a place where you don't want to spend money without gaining something and borrowing material to bring in or paying to have it taken out in either direction becomes very difficult. Because it's just money that would be better put into bricks and sticks and build the buildings. So it is something that we look at very closely. Our civil consultant, Kathy Bedell, is somebody that we've been working with for many years and doing exactly that. We did the project out of Berkshire together, and that one had a lot of grade changes to where we've actually, the building is bisected by a retaining wall in the center and portions of the buildings are above and portions are below. But just fine tuning those elevations to make sure that we had a perfectly balanced site, which was critical in order to make that budget work. And that's what we did.
And we, you know, Kathy's already looked at this particular project when green space was developing, some of the estimating that we did, you know, we wanted to make sure that we had everything covered in the budget. So we were able to look at some drawings and, you know, we all went out to the site as well.
Yeah, for instance, we were looking at, you know, where the new auxiliary gym comes out and the grades that are existing that we're going to blend into are, you know, there's about 5 foot of drop there. And we realize that those walks that come out from the doors on either side can't just go directly out to the lot. You know, they would be far too steep or there would be steps. But we also need to make them accessible. So in our pricing, we price some switchback work in there to make sure that we had not only stairs to get you out to the parking lot, but that we are also managing to get handicap ramps down so that we made our ADA requirements as well. So we do go to that level of detail, even on concept drawings, when there's enough information to evaluate.
Very good. One other question, and I think you touched on it as well, but so you had mentioned, you know, guaranteed maximum price, mm-hmm. and I know we're in a pretty volatile market with material and pricing. I just wondered what you're seeing, what's going on, how stable is the pricing, and just some thoughts around the market itself.
Well, and that's a great question. And so we're seeing two different things. One's working in our favor and one's working against us. We're not seeing a lot of work out there, so we're getting great, great competition. At the same time, you can't get pricing on steel or sheet metal or lumber that will hold for more than 30 days. You know, they're saying, you know, we expect in 2 weeks we're going to get another 10% increase and so on. So we've been keeping our ear to the market with those, and some of those we have to plan for. But we also plan for the good participation. I feel really good about the estimate we put together. We did it pretty conservatively. As I said, I think we do want to talk about whether or not it still makes sense in this market to do a pre-engineered building, but that is what we've priced. And we did go out to different vendors. And that's also a benefit that we have, is that we are not locked into a particular pre-engineered building vendor. So we are not a Nucor contractor, and we're not a Varco Pruden contractor. We're going to go out to all of them, and we're going to talk to all of them, find out who's got the best pricing and who can deliver the best, and who's the contractor that's working for them that's the hungriest, that's going to give us the best pricing. So we do that just as a matter of course to make sure we can lock those things in. Basically, the way our schedule is set up is that John is going to produce drawings based upon these criteria documents that are going to get more detail into them and really mostly fill in. They're a great set of documents architecturally. We still need to backfill the mechanical, electrical, civil, and everything else that will, you know, make them into a complete set structurally as well. But so we'll get those to probably 50-75% complete drawings. That's when we will estimate it and give you a guaranteed maximum price. We understand that needs to meet your budget. We may have a couple alternates in there as sort of safety valves. But in the meantime, while we're preparing those estimates, John's finishing those drawings. So as soon as you give us the go ahead on the GMP, we're in the market, and we're going to go out there and we're going to bid it. And then we're going to take a look at those bids at the end of the day. And hopefully it's going to be just like Firelands, where we're going to say, this is great news. We got all of your alternates covered, everything that you know hope to do. We're going to do an entire roof replacement. We're going to take care of the switch gear. We're going to take care of all those things that have been nagging us that we're not quite sure if we had enough money to do. So that's what we hope for. But we are aware that right now material pricing is very volatile.
That was very helpful. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Nobody else is jumping in here. So before I give you your minute back, Michael, I wanted to thank you for taking the time and bringing your team here to present tonight. This is a very important project, not only to our school district, but to our community. Our buildings are used by our community members. Our facilities are used by our community members. This project will touch base somewhere with every kid that walks through our school system, and we're hoping it impacts our community the same way. So it is something that we take extremely seriously and been involved in a lot of conversations to even get this far. So I do appreciate your time and everything that you brought forward to the table. So I'll give you your last minute here.
Thanks, Todd. And that speaks exactly to what I wanted to leave you with, is that we do know how hard you worked to get it to this point. We know that you made sacrifices. We know you would have loved to have the community centerpiece out there, you know, stand alone and those kinds of things. But you made the adjustments that were necessary in order to serve all the students. All I could tell you is that it's in our DNA to work side by side with you with the same goals. We take it personally. We want to deliver everything that you want, and we're going to work as hard as we can to make sure that you're going to get everything you need in this program. We've done it countless times. There's nobody that's more skilled in it than we are, or has had more experience doing it than we have. This is our business. If you were to say, you know, I got a bridge to build, that's not us. This is what we do. And we hope you'll choose us and let us go on this journey with you. I would ask one question. Do you know how long you will be making your selection and when you will be making your announcement?
I would love to be able to give you a hard date today. I will say this. We deliberate as well as anybody can deliberate as a group of people. We're deliberate deliberators. So we do get to have conversations with Garmin Miller. Sometimes you speak a little bit above my head in terms of the construction business. And so I need him to have Ted or Eric interpret what the heck you just said. And some things is we're going through all the packages too, and kind of measuring, you know, what are our best fits. And we're looking at not only the alternatives, but what our actual needs are, and making sure that we have everything covered, including ourselves financially. So we want to do as quick as possible. We want to get shovels in the ground as quick as possible, but we can't afford to make a mistake. We don't have any extra money to say, okay, we can make a mistake. We're not the New York Yankees of money. We're going to be the Cleveland Indians. I mean, we can't miss.
We understand it. Thank you again for your time. We really appreciate you listening to us tonight.
You have a great day. Thank you.
Thanks.
Ted, anything I missed before they hang up? I'll make Ted talk here again.
That's it. Yeah, I think it was good questions. And like last night, thorough presentation, covered a lot of ground. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good night.
Thanks.
So Ted, our next one's on 705 or 710. I didn't have the
sheet. I believe we're 705.
Okay. Well, this timing's working out pretty good. So Chief will give us a heads up when somebody's coming in. They're like, yeah. Uh-oh, let's get a text from Chief. All right, the next group waiting so we can get started ahead of time. All right, they're coming in. You have to kind of give me a thumbs up. I'm assuming your entire team's already in here.
If not, they're going to be here shortly.
Okay. Just kind of watching through. I'm looking at four screens. Okay, there we go. There's a design team in there.
Yeah, I think we have everybody now.
All right, thanks, Tom. My name again is Todd Osborne, superintendent. I'd like to welcome you tonight into this meeting, and wanted to thank you ahead of time for taking the time to present. As you can see, we have a lot of interested people in this project here, not only part of our school, but part of our community. So Ted and Eric are here from Garmin Miller. I'm not sure if they have anything to add before we hand it over here and let Tom get started.
I think we're ready to go, Todd.
Okay, Tom, we'll put you on the clock.
Okay, I just got to figure out how to share my screen here and make sure I get the right one.
Hopefully it's a green button down on the bottom.
Yep, I see that. Is that the, seeing the presentation?
I can see it.
Okay, I think we got it. Well, thank you for the opportunity. My name is Tom Garski. I'm an executive vice president with Adena. We'll act as the project executive on this project. We're very excited about it. It's a great project. I know it means a lot to you. We have a great team that we've assembled for this project. Brings a lot of experience. We've done a lot of K-12 projects, both individually as separate firms, but collectively as a group together. Us and Bureau Group have done a lot of K-12 work together, which I think provides a huge benefit to what you're trying to accomplish here. I'm just going to run through our team really quick and let Kent introduce his team. But on our side, we will have Glenn Gutenberg. He will be our senior project manager. Glenn will be the day-to-day contact for you throughout the duration of the project. So through the pre-construction and construction effort, Glenn will be the single point of contact for us interfacing with you. Chuck Ganson will be a project manager working under Glenn. He'll be sort of the day-to-day guy working most of the office side of the business for us. And Tommy Klein will be our superintendent who will oversee our field operations. We have a few more people listed on the org chart here that aren't part of the presentation. Ryan Payne, again, will help as an assistant project manager. Ralph Weiser is our general superintendent who will check on the job from time to time, making sure everything's going okay. And Lane Wortman is our safety director. So he'll be out periodically just to make sure that everything is staying safe in the way it needs to be. So with that, I'll turn it over to Kent.
Thank you, Tom. I'm Kent Buehr. I'm both a registered architect and professional engineer. We have a staff of 20 here in our offices in Maumee. And with me this evening is my brother, Brent, who's a registered architect and would serve as our project manager for this project. Also, in addition to Brent and I, our partners in the company, Sam Musson is our structural engineer. He's a partner in our company. He's with us today. And Jamie Turney is with us today as our interior designer. Some of the other staff, we're both a architecture and engineering firm, so we do all our mechanical, electrical, plumbing, technology, and structural design in-house. Also with on our team, it includes Chris Gaffney, another one of my partners, is a chief mechanical engineer. Brad Iyett, mechanical engineer for plumbing design. Kylie Flip is electrical engineer on our staff, which works with me on electrical design. There's other staff members that will assist the team as appropriate to keep the project on schedule. As part of our team, the only work that we don't do in-house is civil engineering. And Lewandowski Engineers is a firm we work with on a number of projects, including school work. And so Matt Lewandowski is the principal of that firm, and he heads up surveying with his son, Patrick, and Troy Barman, who I've known for more than 25 years, is their chief civil engineer for civil design. Thank you.
So as Tom said, I'm Glenn Gutenberg. I'll be the senior project management lead and be your point of contact. I have been in construction for 35 years, the last 14 with Adena. I've been involved with 74 school projects throughout my career. Just means I've done a lot and been around for quite a while. And I've worked with Buehr Group on 17 different projects. The first one starting in 1993. The first project that Adena had with Buehr Group was also in 1993, and that was Northwestern High School. One of my jobs as the lead, I will be running the OAC meetings monthly, probably biweekly for pre-construction and monthly for the construction phase of the project. If you're not familiar with the OEC, it's an owner, architect, contractor meeting, keep you up to date on what's going on, where the schedule's at, et cetera. I'll work with our estimating team developing estimates for the SD phase, schematic, the DD phase, the design development phase, and the construction document phase. And we'll do an estimate after every phase, compare it with viewers, and keep in contact, constant contact with the school on the budget status. During the design phase, during all the design phases, we'll do constructability reviews to keep design efficient, functional, and within budget. During the construction phase, we'll provide you with a monthly budget status report. This will help communicate to you, school, where we're at monthly with the budget.
Thank you.
The first being client engagement. And we want to, you know, we recognize that there's been a lot of effort put forth relative with the criteria architect in the community. Jamie's going to take a moment to discuss that, but we want to build off of that. And obviously, you know, in the program of requirements, it's a starting point, not necessarily an ending point relative to the total needs that the community is looking for within their structure.
Thank you, Brent. You know, client engagement is very important to us. And it's also important to us that, you know, the client, that you are an integral part of our project team and our design team. So with that, you know, we prefer to engage with the staff, the administration, even your community through individual and group meetings. This allows us to identify and understand you know, the needs and wants of your staff and students and community. It allows us to hear their ideas and answer their questions. And this includes both interior and exterior aspects of the project. It allows us to dive into a lot of the details that are outlined perhaps in the criteria documents, but don't, you know, really define them. So these are things such as, you know, the storage needs within that 20 linear feet of casework. You know, what kind of drawers do you need, or shelves, and all that good stuff. Looking at countertop heights and mounting heights for marker boards, and especially for, you know, the little people in preschool and kindergarten rooms. And then even looking at the color scheme, you know, obviously we want to match the existing color scheme of the building, but, you know, maybe we can add a pop of color that really coordinates well and gives you a little something extra. And all this, you know, we like to talk through and, you know, work with you guys to make sure that it's really going to meet your needs and really be part of what you have visualized for your building. And all of this, of course, ensures that the spaces are functional, they're conducive to learning, and they're really just welcoming for both the students and the community.
Thank you, Jamie. Next aspect that in the design process is looking at school security. The criteria documents outline some of the minimum requirements as it relates to this. But we'd want to meet with those charged with school security, whether it be a resource officer and others, to go over the existing access control systems that you have and extending those to the appropriate doors in the areas of new construction. And also looking at video surveillance and where we need to add additional security cameras to pick up the new entrances to the building that are going to be created, and some areas that maybe aren't covered as well as you'd like, particularly in the area where we're adding on to, as we might create some new blind spots as a result of that, those additions. Thank you.
And, you know, making sure that, you know, if you have a resource officer, that we work with that individual through the process. Another item is code review relative to your two structures. As you know, the intermediate building isn't, it was built in 1970 and it isn't sprinkled for fire suppression. So it's obvious that we're gonna, if we're to be construction, we're gonna need a 2-hour firewall between the new structure in the existing. That also means that, you know, in essence, all your corridor walls are going to be 1-hour rated with 20 minute doors. So that means you're going to have closures on your doors. And then you have some renovation areas that might require additional, you know, ratings relative to the walls in the hardware and doors that are used in there relative to the frames. At the high school, that's interesting in that there's an existing 2-hour firewall separating basically the educational wing with the support areas. And on the support area wall where we're adding on to, there's 67,730 square feet with a 9,500 square foot addition. That puts it at 77,270 square feet. You know, it certainly looks as if that we're probably going to have a 2-hour firewall there as well because of our allowable area. You know, I haven't done a calculation relative to the multipliers that exist, but it certainly, based upon a past practice, it sure looks that way, which again, we discussed when we did the walkthrough. You have those windows that you don't like that create glare on the gymnasium, and you know, if we have that 2-hour firewall, we're going to have to protect the steel 10 feet past that wall into the new structure, so that the two-hour firewall, in essence, you know, follows up the gymnasium wall and then turns at our new roof, that allowing those windows to remain and not have to be bricked up or masonry up. And then, you know, the biggest other issue is, you know, working what I'd like to do, you know, before we go through submitting plan approval, sitting down with Wayne County and making sure that we haven't missed anything so that we're not surprising them, so that we can expedite the plan approval as quick as possible. Then I'd like to talk about constructability, and you know, there's the four phases of design: programming, schematic, design development, and construction documents. And obviously there's been some effort put in the criteria architect relative to the program of requirements. We want to verify that with the criteria architect to make sure that everything is clear relative to that document and that it matches our budget and site, which Glenn's going to talk about here in a little bit. And then the schematic design, which has started, and there's some give and take relative to that in relationship to some site challenges. But what we want to do is maximize the efficiencies relative to the construction budget and the materials that we're using so we can give you the best value. And then we want to verify the criteria as architect's design, make sure that it covers everything that they intended relative to the program of requirements. Then we'd move into design development, and it's important that we are able to phase the project to maximize construction efficiencies. And then we want to definitely look at our energy modeling refinements so that we can make it as energy efficient as possible and work with your current controls or update the controls, you know, as needed, and make sure that we do an excellent job relative to our building envelope, which, you know, helps with air quality and other things within the building. Then we're off into the construction document phase, which becomes, you know, budget-wise between design development and construction documents is really important. We closely coordinate our design disciplines. You know, as Kent, you know, mentioned, that we're an architectural and engineering firm. I think that gives us an advantage, both in helping on pricing and being able to put ourselves in a situation where we can make decisions timely, both in design and in the field when challenges come up or shop drawings have to be submitted and approve quickly. I don't have to wait for a consultant to do it for us. Then we want to carefully integrate the plans and specifications with good checking. Kent, you know, we're blessed, is got a degree in structural engineering. He has a degree in electrical engineering, and he's a licensed architect, and he does all of our checking on our drawings. And it's not often that you're blessed with the experience of both an engineer and architect wearing the same hat at the same time. And then finally, you know, expediting the building permit as quickly as possible. Sometimes that might require, you know, an advanced foundation permit so that we can keep the work going. But all that would be in concert with Dina as we go through and make sure that we maximize the value for you relative to the materials and the design that we're working with. Then Sam's going to take a moment and talk about some soil issues relative to the site.
Thanks, Brent. Just a couple of items I want to mention about the site and soil. The grade change is a bit of a challenge for both sites. For example, in the high school, we have 5-foot difference between the finished floor and the top of pavement elevation. And if you add to it, the existing pavement was built on top of another 6 feet of fill. So we have about 10, 11, 12 feet of depth that we have to go to go bearing for foundation. So lowering finished floor is an option to be considered to help with the budget and the foundation depth. Also, maybe you consider taking a couple of borings or a few borings with the school soil engineer to help us know what we're dealing with. The second item could be an issue, maybe not, is the pending the site design and storm work calculations. The retention basin maybe need to be enlarged or deepened to take care of the new stormwater from the additions. That's the answer for now.
Thank you, Sam.
So we had our estimating department do a budget validation spreadsheet just to validate your budget of $750,000. Six current, past, and present projects. Figured out the square foot price for each project. We came and added way. You can see down at the bottom the $7,180,000 plus. We added in the design fees because the other projects didn't have those included. We came up with about $7,775,000. So right now we're within like 0.3% of your budget. So we're pretty confident that the budget's good. One thing that this budget validation didn't take into effect is the current market considerations for steel and lumber. They're fluctuating pretty good right now, but that's a task that our team will take up and make your budget what it should be during the design phase and during the estimates during the design phase. So we have a few value-added suggestions. Number one is fast-track the design and construction schedule on the intermediate school renovations and new additions. If we can fast-track the design renovations, a lot of that work can be done this summer when the school is unoccupied. There's quite a bit of demolition, some heavy demolition, a lot of concrete, a lot of block walls coming out. The more we can do this summer when it's unoccupied, get them finished, you can move into those spaces. There was something I saw that you do have swing space available. Whatever areas that aren't completed this summer, if you have swing space, we can move right into those once you start school. We'll work with the school, we'll work with you on your priority areas, what you want done first, and get those done this summer while the school is unoccupied. Starting construction on the intermediate school addition right away, we feel that barring no material long lead times, we should be able to get you into that space by the end of the year. That's about 7 months prior to your anticipated completion. Bjorn, do you have any comments you'd like to add on that suggestion?
I tend to agree that, you know, the issue is whether you can get the steel and, you know, if you're going to do, you know, pre-engineered steel at the gym or.
No, this is just the intermediate.
Oh, the intermediate. Well, I think, you know, the biggest challenge is potentially the foundation issue there with the grade dropping off and what that's going to do to impact the budget.
We'd certainly look at one of the things we were going to do is look at alternative roof construction design systems, taking into account the long lead times for steel bar choice. But ultimately, as a team, we need to decide what's the best value for the district.
Correct. So our second value-added suggestion, and Sam brought this up before, is because of the soils issue at the high school auxiliary gym, like to lower the finished floor elevation for the auxiliary gym to capitalize on the grade difference. Chuck, do you want to go into the benefits of the school for this issue?
Yes, we believe that lowering the gym elevation will save money on importing fill, number one, and also reducing any types of ramps or steps on the outside of the gym going into the parking lot. We'll
ease access considerably.
Okay, our third value added suggestion is criteria documents call for matching the existing brick for the intermediate school addition. So there's a couple things that we've come up with possibly that you may want to consider. Is closely matching the brick. I don't think being a 1970 building will get an exact match. This benefit would benefit the school by reducing the lead time for procuring the brick. But something that might be beneficial to the cost savings of the school to the tune of about $30,000 is using utility brick in lieu of modular brick in a contrasting color with a struck joint in lieu of a rake joint, which your existing school has. We believe that's a pretty good cost savings to the school. Brent, Kent, do you have anything to add to that?
What you're saying there, you know, it's a really dark brick, and which, you know, affects the firing time. So, you know, there may be some cost in there relative to the type of brick that was there. Not to mention, dark brick likes to expand a whole lot more.
But certainly we'd look at a variety of brick alternatives and work with the criteria architect and the district there to determine what's the most appropriate brick for this project.
Okay, let's go on to the schedule. Chuck, go ahead.
Okay. As far as schedule goes, we would be starting by sitting down with the design group and you, the school, coming up with a phasing plan for both projects as a whole. It would help you know what to expect. It would help us know what to expect as far as timing, tying into existing utilities and the demolition, which there's quite a bit of in the intermediate school. It also help minimize the construction impact on any classes that would be going on, which obviously we're trying to do that during the off school time. But we're also looking at, we kind of looked at this project at the angle that the intermediate school needs to go first while there is no class, and then move people from the intermediate to the high school and then continue with that. The impact with construction is minimal at the high school as far as having to be in the school at all. All the work, most of the work is from outside. Our current schedule reflects, you know, kind of that thought process. We would then do a site survey to verify where all the utilities are existing, so we know what we're getting into when it's time to tie into them. That'll save us time and money. The steel is a big one. We would work closely with the design team to get that streamlined and get it ordered since we are seeing lead time stretch with the steel. We've got some ideas as far as like the Bueller Group talked about substituting some bar joists with beams and things of that nature. Then, like Glenn said, during construction, we'll have weekly meetings with the subs, go over their weekly progress. They'll give us 2-week look aheads, and then I'll be involved with Glenn on the monthly meetings.
Hey, before Tommy gets into explaining our site logistics plans, I'd just like to let the district know we've been involved with 2 recent projects that are very, very similar to this project. Delaware City Schools is one project with 3 additions to 3 different in 3 different locations and very, very tight sites. And one site is very similar to your intermediate school where the addition is right next to the playground. So we're very, very familiar with the working around a tight site. Also, we're in the final completion stages of Winford High School. It's a 6-12 school that was built around an existing high school that was occupied during construction and right next to a occupied elementary school. And we were very, looked at our site logistics very hard and proud to say that we've had no incidents at either school with any students or staff in close proximity to our construction. So Tommy, you wanna go ahead?
Yeah, sure. Okay, so Glenn just said, currently I'm working on a project for Delaware City Schools that's very similar to this. One of the additions that we're working on is roughly about 20 feet from the existing playground, which has been active the entire time we've been working there. The other project is directly right up against the student drop-off and pickup area. That particular building there is a two-story structure. Going up approximately 28 feet. And we've had pretty good success there. What we would be looking to do is a lot of similar things to what we're doing in Delaware. That would involve completely surrounding our workspace with 6-foot tall fences. We would be looking at right now adding a temporary stone sidewalk at the high school to basically make sure that we have proper egress and it's not spilling out into a construction site. When we look at the site logistics and the safety, one of the things that we would want to do prior to starting any work would be to sit down with school staff and if we can involve local police and fire on this. That way we can go through some of the materials that are going to be coming through your town, the direction we think are going to be coming, how we're going to be bringing them into your guys' property. So one of the things we can do there is try to eliminate any traffic issues, eliminate any surprises, and also make sure that prior to school taking place and starting is that we have all means of emergency access and egress in a good state for you guys to open up school. One of the other things that we'll be looking to do at this time is work with the staff of the school and line up the best possible times for delivery of equipment and materials. All delivery and equipment, delivery of equipment and materials will be coordinated with Adena Corporation so that there's no surprises and there's not multiple trucks lining out on the street causing traffic issues. We've done this with Delaware City Schools. It's worked out pretty good. We haven't really had any issues as far as interference with parents dropping off kids, school buses, or anything like that. At Delaware, we've even taken the steps to have some of our larger materials such as structural steel and roof trusses delivered and staged on a Saturday. That way we can, you know, those are large, they take up a lot of space overhead and we don't have to worry about cars. As I stated before, both projects we will be looking at completely surrounding with a 6-foot fence. If for some reason we do get to a point where we need to have materials delivered, have being able to be placed, things like masonry veneer or structural steel. We'll want to sit down and coordinate with you guys at school as far as where we can go with this, what doesn't impact you guys or impacts you guys the least. And we'll bring in more temporary fence to make sure that, you know, students and anybody walking by doesn't have any access to these materials. One of the other things that we normally would like to do prior to any crane operations starting is to sit down and come up with a 3D lift plan, whether that be structural steel or rooftop units. What this does, this helps us to ensure the safety of any staff or students and make sure that if we feel that we do have to swing over something for some reason, that either we work it at a off school hour or coordinate with the school to make sure that possibly nobody would be, say, in the playground area or parking area. Some of the other things would be any interior work that we'd be looking to do, say, in the intermediate school. We'd sit down with you guys and make sure we're coordinating with you so we lessen any impact to the staff or students. We want to sit down and make sure that we're lining out the most direct path to where the work has got to go. Again, this all will just basically be trying to help impact or lessen the impact on the school. Some of the logistic challenges that we do see on this project will be number one, phasing the interior renovation of the intermediate. Basically sitting down with you guys, understanding what areas may be most important to you, getting in there first, second, and so on. So again, we can try to eliminate impact and help out with making sure you guys have someplace to put students if we need to get into another area. We've done this down in Delaware with pretty good success, where we've basically built the additional wing, got the temporary occupancy into that so that we could progress into deeper into the building on interior renovations that would affect the school greatly. One of the other challenges that we see, the intermediate school is a very tight site, and that would be having enough room for materials needed. With that, like I said, we would be looking to coordinate with you guys and never take up any space without having a conversation over it. One of the other suggested challenges that we definitely see is, like Glenn and I said before, there is a lot of heavy demolition, if you will, in the intermediate school. This is going to be removing concrete, removing block walls. This tends to be loud and disruptive. This is things that we would definitely be looking at trying to knock out just as fast as possible during the summer months. But like I said, as far as looking at logistics and safety, this project is very similar to where we are now. And I don't see anything really out of the ordinary that that I don't think we can handle and get this thing built efficiently and safely.
Okay, one of the last things we want to touch on is local participation and procurement strategies. We plan on putting together 25 to 30 bid packages for this project. We would like to have 3 to 5 bidders per package. Smaller bid packages tend to increase local interest. It also allows the larger subcontractors to bid on multiple packages, which helps reduce your costs, results in a savings to your district. We'll put together a proposed bidders list and communicate this to you. We want your input on the bidders list. We want your approval on who is going to bid. We'll take people off if you want to take them off. We'll add people if you want to add people. We want to include as many local bidders as possible. I know that's one of your goals, is to use local contractors. At this time, as mentioned a little bit earlier, the market conditions for steel right now are not really conducive to the construction industry. They're all over the place, and the lead times are really stretching out. We work as a team to determine the most cost-effective and timely design for your buildings. This may include ordering items once the DD phase is complete and approved by the district. One thing is the metal building. We know that the metal building for the Ox Gym at the high school is a 6-month lead time. So if we can get that ordered after the DD phase, it'll tremendously help the schedule on this project. with that, thank you for the opportunity to present this and would like to answer any questions you may have.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen and ladies. I appreciate your time and your presentation. Very well done, very clear with everything. One of the things that is that continues to come up, knowing that we have the internal classrooms at CIS that already exist, and the, even the addition is, you know, adding into that pre-K, K wing, natural lighting, the way we can bring it in, are you looking at LED, special LED lighting, full spectrum? I mean, is there a way that you thought about or an alternative you would list to include that?
Brent or Kent, I'll
you. Well, we have previous experience using solar tubes and skylights to bring in natural light into interior classrooms and have done that successfully in other school renovation projects. Certainly with LED lighting today, there is the ability to change the color temperature on lights. In the past, in fluorescent fixtures, you basically had to buy the tube you wanted for the color, and, you know, as I shared before, 25 years ago, we experimented with full spectrum fluorescent tubes on some school projects. So we would explore what the opportunities are in the area of full spectrum lighting with LED fixtures, in addition to the opportunities, how we can introduce natural lighting and share those options with you. And as a team, look at what the cost benefits are of the various options.
Thank you. We've not had a set order, but we've kind of went in an order of Mr. Hershberger followed by Mrs. Rohr. So I'll just kind of call them out now and jump in.
All right. I appreciate the presentation, first of all. Real quick, and maybe I missed it, but with subcontractors and all the contractors coming up onto the property and working around the kids during school hours, are they background checked? What's your safety protocol as far as that?
We'll require FBI and BCI background checks for anybody that's on site.
Okay. And how much self-work are you as a organization able to perform?
We can self-perform steel, masonry, concrete, and general trades.
Okay. Thank you.
But if we do bid those items, just to add, we will bid them out. We will have other bidders for those bid packages. And we will turn our bid in like 4 hours before everybody else's is due, just to be transparent.
Right. Get that.
Hi, my name is Bernadette. I'm a board member. So I have, actually, I believe it's Sam that had talked about, I have a specific question because I couldn't write fast enough. There was a site elevation you talked about, 5 foot and 6 foot fill with a total depth. I thought you said 11 to 12. Was that CIS or were we talking about the gym? Where was that at?
Right, in the gymnasium, absolute gymnasium area, yes.
Gym. For the new high school.
For the new high school.
And did I get those numbers right?
Well, I reviewed the blueprints of what we have, and that's what it is there. It's about 5 feet. Another 5 feet below it, plus maybe the organic before that. So I'm assuming between 10 to 12 feet. That's why we should take at least 2 to 3 borings to investigate and see what we have, what we're dealing with. If it's good, we can, you know, don't have to be that deep, but if it's bad, then we'll have to do something about it, find a solution.
Okay.
In most cases, you want to be down to virgin soil. And, there's definitely a little red flag there that we got to make sure that we understand.
Okay. That's very helpful.
Parking lot was built on top of Phil, so that's why.
Right. So I think that actually two of the questions I have been asking, I think you folks have already done a pretty good job answering it, but I'll ask it just to be sure what my notes are reflecting is what you intend. So for some of these bid packages, Glenn, then I'm guessing if we're taking out concrete and recycled materials, or we're bringing in fill, those will be part of a bid package for possible local companies to bid on then?
We put together a demo package.
Okay.
For the select demo.
Okay.
Select demo, which would be on the interior only. So any demolition outside the building, because you've got pavement going to be tore up, that'll be in a site package. Anything inside the building would be in a select demo package.
Okay. And then you had already addressed the question about how volatile the market is, and I was just wondering what that's going to look like, and you know what time frame we should be thinking about. And I think you did a pretty good job for me, so I won't have you go through that again. I know.
Well, it changes. Yeah. It changes so drastic. Just to give you an example, we put together a GMP for a PK8 building in Shelby, Ohio, in December. We put it out to bid at the end of January. So within about 5 weeks, bar joists and deck increased in price $400,000. Now this is a big school, but it almost doubled.
Wow.
And then we found out the lead time for the bar joists went from 15 weeks to 35 weeks. So knowing that, and knowing that you have a metal building for your auxiliary gym, we went to our metal building people. So we said, okay, what is your lead time? And they said 6 months. Now that's from design to delivery. That's 6 months. That's why we said, well, a metal building is a metal building. We can design around that because we know what the size is going to be. Chuck and I have also discussed when we were putting the schedule together, can we go ahead and build the walls and then drop the metal building columns down inside the block walls? So we're looking at all avenues.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I heard you mention twice about that. Just so you know, Wirtz Geotech was doing core samples today at the CIS, and we'll be out at the high school, and Leroy will be getting those things and getting that information back as soon as he possibly can, but his group was out there working on it today.
That's good that you're on top of that.
We're actually working with Leroy up at Amherst on the project.
He's a good community member. He's a true supporter of our school system and helps out wherever he can.
That's great.
I said, you know, with the schematic design being where it's at, you know, you can place your test borings in spots where you think your maximum loads might be, which is what you tried to do.
Okay. Anybody else have any follow-up? Well, Tom and your team, thank you very much for your time today. You know, as you can see, two pages full of people, how important this project is to our community and to our kids. It may appear like a lot, or we're asking you to over-deliver in some of these areas, but we are truly have to be sure. We have no margin for error with this project. Our goal was to use pipeline money and stay off the taxpayers, you know, front porch asking for money, and to be able to move through this project with that fashion, that property that we're actively trying to sell in a very tough market with the construction. So we are going to, you know, go and deliberate, kind of have some conversations about this and continue to go through this process. But wanted to thank you for your time and your presentation. It was excellent. I know Bernadette takes a lot of notes. I had your booklet. I was filling in notes as I was going. So lots of information. So thank you very much, which is much appreciated.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. We appreciate it. It's great to see how many people are interested in the project. And it's, like I said, it's a great project. So we hope to be a part of it.
Thank you. Ted or Eric, did I miss anything?
I don't think so, Todd. Thank you to the Adena team and the Buick group.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We appreciate the opportunity.
You guys have a great evening. Thank you.
Thank you, Todd.
Bye-bye.
Mrs. Fend, I hand it back over to you.
All right, thank you. All right, ladies and gentlemen, folks want to give any thoughts on the presentations that we, yeah, what?
Hey, can we be done with these Zoom meetings? I'd love to get back to meeting in person. That's my part of the board discussion. It's not my discussion, but I'm about done with these things. Just I throw it out there for a discussion point.
Well, that's fine, but I have a question for you, so you might want to stick around a little. It's okay. If folks would like to, you know, do some discussing on the presentations we were just witness to, it would be a good time to do so. I don't know if anybody who wants to start. I do have a question I'd like to ask to Todd, and that is, I have no idea what it is. And so the process of getting our athletes from the junior, senior high school over to the, you know, CIS building can be intense. And so down the road sometime, I would like to have some type of information on what all is involved with that, because I think that's a you know, critical part to having the auxiliary gym. If we also know how it impacts, you know, our other administrators, our schools, our folks, the bus drivers, our students, et cetera. So I think that's an important issue to. That doesn't really deal with the contractor stuff, and I'm sorry, but it flashed on me when they were speaking about the gym and the build and things, how that we need to make sure we're clear with how that arrangement that we have now does impact. So that's a little off the board.
What is that noise?
I don't know. It's awful.
I can weigh in. Like I said, the question has too many unknowns. You're talking about kids picking up kids. But what I'll say is this. Jamie has a battle because kids get out of the junior, senior high school first. So I think there's a true benefit. So let's take the eighth grade child whose parent goes to school to pick him up at the high school, even now, and then gets in line and drops him off at CIS. That's all eliminated because the gym is there. We don't have to go up there while that school is still going on and or letting out. All right, so we have kids that are being bused up to CIS from the high school. These things, this eliminates a lot of that piece. And so we're hoping it eliminates a lot of that traffic also that gets, you know, that gets in there. But like I said, there's way too many unknowns. I mean, we didn't pull why you're in line, why you're picking up your kid, why aren't they on the bus? Are they going to practice? Are they going to CIS? That's this information we don't know. But the whole idea is you have a seventh, eighth grade, ninth grade teams, the ability to stay there in their building is now greatly enhanced.
Right.
I'm assuming, is this going to help, you know, and ease some of the traffic down, you know, at the pickup line? It's just a guess. I'm assuming Jamie will be happy about that. I'm also assuming that people in the Hazel Harvey neighborhood will be happy that hey, wow, this is coming to an end. Driveways seem to get blocked. We'll have to see how much of an impact it is with CIS. I mean, what I can say is this, I sat there with our SRO, and the problem's, it's gone in 5 to 7 minutes. I mean, it's a problem right. 5 to 7 minutes, absolutely. Okay. But 10 minutes down the road, it's, you know, the plate's pretty much cleared out. So Jamie and Nathan have done a good job and have a good system rolling. But I'm sure Jamie's doing cartwheels here that you can't see on screen about her not having to deal with kids coming to her building while her building is still in session.
Right. Right. But, well, that is an expense for us, correct? Because we're having a bus driver there. So. All right. Thank you.
Got it. Yeah. So this is a, Mrs. Fenn, I'm just assuring, this is a board discussion, correct?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Todd, I'd like to jump in sort of on the tail of that, I guess. And of course, I think you can anticipate I have several questions. but before I ask my first question, I do want to make a statement that I am very appreciative, Todd, for all the work that you've done. And I think this is so exciting, but I'm also a very risk adverse person. So I'm one board member that's very nervous and cautious about what decisions are in front of us. So I will say that. I'm just very impressed. I'm very appreciative. I want to thank you for picking up the slack, Todd, and the fact that we are in pursuit of a new treasurer and the workload. I don't think you've missed a beat. So I wanted to say that at this juncture in our process, because we've got a lot of irons in the fire. And sometimes we don't take the time to just actually say, I truly appreciate the work that's gone into this.
Thank you. I appreciate that, because there's been a lot of time and effort into every iron that's in that fire.
I know. I would also like to say to Eric and Ted that I think they've done an excellent job in getting us to where we are in the process of trying to identify a builder. I have several questions that may be well received or not well received from the fellow board members, but in no way does that reflect upon the effort that you've done for us. I'm thrilled that we selected you. I'm pleased with the work that you've done. I actually had an individual request some information and came back with raving review of the process. So as a public request of record. So I just wanted to offer my thanks to you for what you've done for us so far. Me, I will tell you right now, I'm having a tough time. We will pick a builder, but I'm having a tough time picking that builder from these interviews, because I thought they all did very well. And of course, the market's the market. They seem to all know the market well, and they have varying cautions about their different approaches. So I just wanted to say thank you for the work you two and your company has done for us so far.
Thank you.
And hang in with us. We got quite a ways to go, right?
We will. We'll be there with you.
Okay. My first question, and Todd, it might be a combination, and I apologize because I'm sure we touched on this somewhere, but I think from a board perspective, what we didn't touch on in the interviews is things like once we bring CIS over, we're bringing in another 600 kids. And I'm sure you've done this or shared it with me, but it escapes me. For the building, for the floor plan that we have, and we didn't touch the cafeteria, and we didn't expand the gym or anything like that. Was there somewhere where we had information that showed that the traffic flow, we're going to be able to handle the traffic flow? that we're going to be able to handle the recess where the pre-K and the kindergarten, and I know that that was provided at some point or we wouldn't be this far in the process, but I guess what I would ask is, could someone at some point get me that information so I could be refreshed on it? Like the traffic flow, picking up and dropping off kids when we're going to have, you know, 600 some kids in that building now. The recess, the flow, which might have been some work done with Jamie and Jody. But that was something as we were going through here, none of them kind of talked about that, but it came back up in my thinking to make sure we've got those things covered as well.
Bernie, do you mean during any construction?
No, I mean functionally.
Yeah. So when the construction is done.
Right. What is our daily operational? So once this is all done, the kids are coming to school.
Right.
And we've already looked at that early on, but somewhere along the way, I guess here's what came up in my thinking is that I think it was Rulin that had mentioned an ulterior plan design. And I guess what I'd ask Garmin Miller is, would you think about that? And does that still give us the flow we need for recess and gym and the cafeteria? I just want to make sure if we get down the road in a conversation for some ulterior designs, are we still okay in those daily functional flows of traffic?
Yeah. Yeah. I'll start off and I'll turn it over to Ted since he's the architect. Just in general, you're asking about the program of space and have we accounted for all the appropriate space for the kids that will be added? And the answer is yes. We've basically based off a couple things. We've worked with Todd and a lot of his key administrative people as to what programs and spaces they need and made sure those were all accounted for. Things like the cafeteria, we used the state standards basically as a template. The School Facilities Commission, which is now OFCC, they are really good about knowing what sizes of space you need for however many number of kids. And we verified the size cafeteria you have does accommodate the kids that are added. As far as it was mainly Rulin, I think, that really showed a couple alternatives and showed the one alternative at CIS. I think it's good to have, you know, somebody bringing these alternative ideas. I think we need to just as a group look at it a little closer and evaluate it thoroughly. Ted, I don't know if you have any initial thoughts from seeing it for the first time.
Sure. I would say part of the advantage of the design build process is you do get that second look from the contractor's point of view and their architect to vet some of these things out. So that's looking at alternatives is definitely part of the process that we expect here. I guess in the CIS piece, just a couple things that stood out to me that were in there. I think and it could be a question of refining, but courtyards are something to consider. They can present problems from a maintenance point of view, getting snow out of them and things like that. And from a security point of view, do you have to have doors that allow egress, but then it creates a secure point. So that's something that we'd want to, things like that, as we evaluate, those are things we want to look at pretty closely and balance that against, you know, any potential cost savings that you could get out of, you know, what's being proposed. And I don't think they were entirely clear about, you know, what the cost savings was associated with either of those plans that they presented. But, and I guess on the, I don't know if you were also thinking about the auxiliary gym piece or not. I think there were a few things. I think if they could make work cost-wise what they proposed, I think that would be great. But I think there may be some pieces that they hadn't considered when they looked at that cost. There's quite a bit of, instead of the fill that they talked about, there's quite a bit of cut there. They're going to have to hold back 8 to 10 feet of dirt, of earth, to make that fill. And I think they're missing where that both the gas and the water lines enter the building, I think they're going to interfere with those too. So those were, as we looked at that option, those were some of the things that we stayed away from initially. You know, if they can find a way to make those work, I think that'd be great.
So you're talking about the move, because they were the only one that's, there were two builders that suggested brick and mortar versus steel, but they were the only ones that proposed the move to the other side of the building, right?
Right. I'm specifically talking about the move. I think the change in materials is something, again, that's a huge advantage of this process is, you know, everyone who came in here said the market's changing week to week, and you know, we know that. So they're the ones who are going to be able to go out and find, you know, is that pre-engineered metal building the best solution, or can they do it more effectively with some other method? So.
Yeah, Ted, this is TJ. I'm going to jump in here, and Bernadette can correct me if I'm wrong. So I believe her question was process driven. So where I think we're at is about the 80,000 foot view. Mm-hmm. And our discussion was going to be about these builders and how to pick them. When do those type of questions need to come in? I've done several projects and usually we don't talk about that at this level. So if I'm wrong, then I need to redo some stuff.
Yeah, I think you're correct. I think I was trying to respond to some of the questions that may have come up, but yeah, those are, the process is that once we get a builder selected and they start looking at those details, then we'll be involved with your executive team, probably some of the board members, looking at all those options that the contractor team is presenting.
And so maybe I wasn't clear in why I was actually asking. So I'm not concerned about the development of how Jamie is gonna and Jody are gonna manage the daily operation. Mine is more on a structural basis, I guess, moving an additional 300 kids. We're not moving, you know, it's not going to be third, fourth, fifth, and sixth, where we have certain periods through the day where they have to have lunch. We now will have pre-K first, second, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth, okay, in one building area. And if we're not expanding the lunchroom or the gym area or the recess, how do we accommodate this number of grades for lunch without them crossing paths? And when it was a high school, you could do that because they could intermingle. I don't think we want pre-K, kindergarten, and first grade having lunch with, you know, the fourth, fifth, sixth. That's my question, mainly driven by, do we need to consider expanding the cafeteria? Do we have enough kitchen space to, like, are we going to have kids eating from 10 o'clock to 1 o'clock? I guess that was more my question. So I'm sorry, I wasn't trying to get into the operations, but if we build this and then we can't, we're feeding kids lunch at 10 and at 2, that is what I just didn't understand.
I'll turn it back to Todd, I think, but to Eric's point, when we look at the cafeteria space versus the state standards, that it's sized for the number of kids that are going to be at the building. And it, again, the layout and the program will develop, but I think we did look at that flow and work with your staff on that to, you know, what areas of the building certain groups of kids needed to be in. You know, the development of two entrances, two drop-off lines is something that was kind of a response to the mix that's going to be in this building now. So, and I don't know, like I said, I'll kick it back to Todd because I think it is a little bit of an operational question then too.
Good question. And I have, let's take answer number one. The kindergartners are on the same bus with the sixth graders right now. They ride the same bus to school. So, I mean, we have professional educators in the building. So them intermingling is probably the least of any concern that we have that we have with that. The size of the cafeteria, going back to what Ted and Eric told us before, it fits according to OSCC standards. We do have the ability to expand it. We had that stage there, and a couple of the people have, you know, talked about kicking that area out. We look at that some that concession stand area as a way that we can move dry goods storage, plates, plastic pencils, and all that stuff into that area to create more room in the kitchen for that to work. Equipment in the kitchen, that would be a Chrissy thing. I'm sure that she has some ideas as to how to expand that. The kitchen in moving kids through the line is not a concern that Chrissy has. Storage of stuff is a concern that Chrissy has. And you know, we're looking to address that, and that concession stand area may be, you know, helpful. I wouldn't say we don't want to be running back and forth with it on a, you know, every lunch period, but we can be well prepared for that. The lunch lines, the people in there are phenomenal, do a great job. The interaction of kids in the lunchroom, I mean, when I say this, we have them on the same bus. We're going to have them in the same lunchroom, so to speak. But, you know, we have adults in there. The kids move through. I'll be honest, I have so much faith in the teaching staff that I don't see that being a major concern. I'll tell you what, my biggest concern, when it's pouring down rain, and our gym, and Mr. Eagley's in there with the gym kids, and we got to pull the curtain to put 50 kids in the gym for recess. We're going to have to get a little creative. I know in some other schools, I mean, they had rooms that were board games that were in there. They had rooms that are a little bit longer where they played cornhole. I mean, we had to get somewhat creative, to expand that kid out. That's my biggest concern. Snowstorm and pouring down rain and recess. That is the one that I'm trying, you know, we're going to get creative. But as I said, we have educators that are real good at this. So probably have a lot better ideas than I do, because I think cornhole fixes everything. And there's nothing wrong with playing a few games of that. It takes up time. Kids are throwing stuff. It's a pretty good, it's a lot of fun with that. But yeah, I understand your question, but the cafeteria size fits. Ted and Eric told us that from the start. Moving people in and out. I mean, in the fall, you have volleyball, and then you have youth basketball teams that want to use, you know, the gym. In the winter, you have seventh and eighth grade boys and girls. You know, that Ox gym takes away so much, you know, that I really believe that line from the high school coming up to CIS and getting all that's, I think a lot of it's going to go away because the kids will be there after school. Chrissy's done a great job with some programming now with the lunch, you know, after school lunch programs is another thing that we're going to have to take a look at, because we'll have a lot of kids in one area after school. So, you know, if we do an Ox gym, so.
Yeah. Can I jump in? This is, we're having a lot of discussion here, and we really don't have the end users or the content matter experts in this. This is great questions. I think it's better suited for focus groups when we get further down the line. I'll just remind everybody that one of the reasons why we went with a lease purchase option was because of OFCC. When they're involved, they dictate what we do, and we don't have choices. And with the lease purchase option, we do have those choices and have that flexibility.
I agree 100%. I'm going to ask a tough question, Ted and Eric.
Oh, okay.
Anything you heard in the last 2 days that you went, whoa, I can't believe they said that?
To be honest, I didn't think there was anything that was terribly surprising. I think they're what each team is bringing to the table. I think they've all been pretty well prepared, and they've thought through this process. I think someone on the board here said they all understand the market and have talked about that. So I don't think there's anything that stood out to me that was really surprising.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I took notes here throughout, and a lot of similarities in the content that was covered. You know, they all talked about self-performing of work. They all had some value-added ideas, and nothing was surprising that in a negative way at all. I think it's really a good group that you got to choose from. And Ted talked about at the beginning, before these started, a lot of who you select, it comes down to a comfort level of who you feel is the right partner for you, that you can see yourself really working with, and a partnership that you would trust and could see being with you as a long-term partner in this.
Yeah, I mean, I thank you. I mean, I just wanted to reassure the board. I think they're four good groups. They tried to hit their strengths. They talked about what they saw the potential problems are, and, you know, wanted to inform us as much as they wanted to brag about how good they are. And so I'm going through my rubrics right now. As Bernadette said, she's more pessimistic. I'm on the opposite end of that ruler. I'm as optimistic as they get. I have a lot of faith in people that they're going to show up and do their job and deliver on what they say they're going to deliver. And so I know, as I'm going through this rubric, I'm getting to a detail point now in going back through their proposals so I can come up with what I say I believe is the best choice for Chippewa, in my opinion. And I know our board has to be there also individually as to what they feel the best choice is for, you know, Chippewa and moving forward, because we know we're going to make a huge impact on this district for years to come with this decision and what happens. And, you know, I think that's where we are now is getting to the rubric as much as we possibly can. And Ted, thank you for the rubric. It's been very helpful for me as I'm driving down in the details and I'm going back into that. I'm changing scores. I'm making 6.5 instead of a 7. And so I do appreciate your rubric, but Mrs. Fenn.
I still have, I'm sorry. I still have some questions. And I guess just as one quick follow-up, I can appreciate if I'm out of line in my questions about the cafeteria, but if we are wrong in the size of that cafeteria, a focus group down the road isn't going to change the plan design if we need to address it now. That was where I was going with the discussion. If you, Eric or Ted, wouldn't mind sharing with me the OFCC or whatever the measure is that you have that set our cafeteria at the right size, I'd appreciate that. And I'll leave that discussion there. Todd, you're mentioning the rubric. Here's where I am. I understand we have the best value form. That's the rubric you're talking about. And we're to rate them and get that back. When is that supposed to be back to you, Todd, and Linda? And then what is our process? I have two questions. What is our process from there, from actually identifying the builder of the choice of the group? And then we asked these builders to bid us CIS moving forward only pricing, Jim moving forward only pricing, and both. When are we as a board going to make the decision which of these projects are moving forward? And then when are we as a board going to reconvene about the financing, finalization on the financing? Those are my questions. So first is the question of the process right now for evaluating. What's the timeline? When are we going to regroup on that? The second is, how are we making the choice of which of these projects we as a board are moving forward with? And the third is, when are we as a board going to reconvene on the financing?
Say, Todd, I was actually going to suggest or ask, I would like to actually meet with the finance committee prior to meeting with the board so that we can go over some of the things that I need to go over. And I thought that the finance committee would probably be the best place to start.
Right, I agree with that, Christine, thank you. And my thought is if the board members can, since we have some more things to deal with this week, if the board members can get your Rubik's to us by the end of the week, then we make sure we have them. That gives a little wiggle room if one needs the weekend and give them to us on Monday. So the finance board will be meeting on April 10th. So we'll have that meeting for then. And then we'll have that information and get together with Christine's information. And then we will need to look at the calendar to see what we can get accomplished at our 15th on the board meeting on the 15th, and then see what where we're at with the process.
What time is that finance committee meeting, Linda?
It is 8 a.m., please.
It's April 7th. It's Wednesday the 7th. You looked at the March calendar.
Oh, sorry. You're right. It's the 7th, Wednesday the 7th.
I just wanted to mention that I did note one of these builders had an effective date of being awarded the business on the 5th, and the other three, they based all their timelines on being awarded by April 15th. That's why I'm asking about what our process is.
Well, Mrs. Fenn had that, she described it at the beginning of the meeting, if you want to reiterate that. But
oh, we were going to get the Rubik's to us, then meet with the finance, then we'll be able to review that and see what's the best fit, what the board feels is the best fit, and then we will disseminate the information for that, see what we can get accomplished by the meeting on the 12th. So Ted, are there any problems with us with their start dates and us taking more time than what they did with their start dates, or are their start dates flexible?
I believe that when we, I don't have it in front of me, but I believe we published the 15th as the contract date, as the likely contract date. So
likely, right.
Yeah.
All right, I understand.
Well, Linda likes calling meetings. She can just have another meeting sometime. We only have three this week.
Okay. That, all right. Bernadette, did that answer your question?
I'm not real comfortable right now on our process, but I have some dates that we're going to be revisiting, I guess. I'm not really sure. So by Monday, you want our forms back, is what I heard.
Rubik's, yes.
And then the finance committee is meeting April 10th, but that doesn't tell me.
7th.
No, I'm sorry. It's April 7th.
Wednesday.
Okay. When are we as a board then? I'm guessing sometime after April 7th, we are going to meet as a board to discuss which part of these projects we are going to move forward with and how we're going to actually finance it. The reason I ask about the financing is for me right now, we've had so much information from Mike Burns, the banker, and I believe all that was informational. And I don't believe we've settled on the exact financing, the lease purchase, the COPS, 15 year, 20 year, 30 year, how much? I mean, I don't know how those decisions are getting made. And so I'm very confused on that. Mostly I'm just very confused, and apparently I'm the only board member confused right now. So if you could clear those things up for me, I'd appreciate it, somebody.
All right, well, I think we need to take this step by step. So we'll get the Rubik's, we'll do the finance, we'll do the analysis, And then I will have to get back with the board of if we need to have a meeting, you know, the 8th or the 9th, or if we can handle some of this business on the 12th.
Yeah, Bernadette, I think once we have the finance meeting, I think that will address the majority of the big ugly elephant in the room of where most of our questions lie. And then we can address everything once we get that figured out. So I think that's our next step, is just getting the finance figured out. And once we go through that meeting, I think that'll help clarify some of the mud.
And which board members are on the finance committee?
Myself and Linda.
Okay.
And are we talking about operational finance information that's being shared? I know there were some questions back and forth about maybe some federal funding we are trying to finalize and our state funding came in at. Is that the finance for
that's the part I'm gonna be discussing.
Yes.
And I'm still in the middle of working on that. And that's why I wanted to explain that it's not a 2-minute fix. So that's why I wanted to explain a little more to the finance committee, because I'm having to go back to 2019 to look at some different things. So that's why I'm kind of hesitant on like your questions, Bernadette, because of the fact that I'm not going to have this completely cleaned up. You know, I'm hoping when you guys get the new treasurer in, you know, I'm going to work with them and show them what I found and what they need to look at. So that's what I want to kind of fill them in on. As for like your loan and how many years, I haven't seen that, you know, so
it's okay.
I won't be able to answer that question for you, but yeah. So I want to clear up some of the other stuff that I've gone through and found, and then you guys can go from there.
Right. From a point of trying to clarify that then, Bernadette, I think that what you're really asking is two questions then, not only what the present state of the finances are looking like, but what the long-term forecast of the financing is going to look like, which is ultimately my biggest drawback in this whole decision-making process. So I guess that what I would echo along with Bernadette's thoughts is at some point, I think we have to have a dissection of what that's going to look like if people feel free, like they want to move forward with this project. And so I just wanted to echo some of what Bernadette was saying, that I too have questions in that regard.
Right. And I think if we don't have concerns with the situation we're in and trying to move forward, I don't want to say I think that's careless. I don't think it's taking everything into consideration. I mean, we definitely got to have a chat with everybody in public, not behind closed doors, get rid of the executive session and just have that uncomfortable conversation that I've heard so much about, but yet have not had. So we need to get it real and make it real and get everybody on the same page. Yeah. That's public. That's everybody. Mm-hmm. And so, once we,
cause when are you guys planning, I know you're going to start interviewing. So what is your plan or the goal to have the new treasurer in place? Do we know that?
I don't have a set in stone date. Linda, do you? I mean, obviously.
It needs to be ASAP.
Right. Absolutely. But any good employee is going to give a 2-week notice.
Oh, that's what I was just wanting to see. Is it June 1st start date? Because that's.
Yeah, as soon as possible.
I just want to make sure it wasn't a June 1st start date, or I just want to kind of have an idea.
No, and okay. I mean, we appreciate everything you're doing, but I definitely don't want you hanging out more than you have to.
Yeah, and I don't mind. I just feel that when the new one comes on, that they're going to have more time to dedicate to digging into,
right. You know,
what we have. So I just feel like, and believe me, I'm looking at it for now, not last week, I was on vacation, but I truly am looking into them. And like I said, I have to go back to July of 19 and just kind of work from there. So, you know, once you guys could get a full-time treasurer, then they can actually put in.
Well, and I don't think we can even attempt to answer that question until after the interviews.
Absolutely.
You know? Yep. So I'm sorry there's so many unknowns at this time.
Nope. Not a problem.
That's what's real. I mean, that's right. What's real.
Yep. So, not a problem.
I would love to be able to say, here's the process, A, B, C, but unfortunately, that is not where we're at. So yep. I think we need to look at this like chunking. We do a part and we do a part and we do a part. I mean, we chunk it, you know, in teaching. And so this is my method of it's just step by step. So as soon as we get, you know, the interviews done and we can move forward and have some time that they can give us when they can start. I mean, I'd like them to start Friday, but that's not reality. So.
No, and I know that's what I'm just saying, so, you know, to dig into this and make sure that I want to make sure that what I see and what I think we need to fix is correct.
Yes.
And then we can move on from there.
Yes.
So that's the financial side. We are interviewing treasurers on Thursday. And so hopefully yes. We'll get that process. So Ted and Eric, I guess I've got another question that's bubbling here now based on some of these dates that are coming around. Based on what I thought I saw in the projected timelines of the bidders for the builders being April 15th. And clearly we didn't anticipate when we started this project that we would be replacing a treasurer. Clearly we didn't anticipate that Todd would have to pick up the heavy load that he has. I don't want to throw a scare out there. I truly believe, as I did 3 years ago, the best thing for our district is to get our kids out of Hazel Harvey and get them into a building that's a better, more futuristic, solid build. So I'm very much a proponent of that. The CIS build, I just want the right thing at the right time. And of course, we're juggling many things. My question to you, I say all that, is since we've already down the path here, they have a target date of April 15th. Is that going to then release all of the numbers they presented to us, or is there a longer hold date? Do we have a 60-day lock on these numbers? Or is there going to be additional cost in our processing if we go much past the 15th? We need to know that. Where there's a cost impact and where there's a change in pricing based on some of the things we don't have answered yet.
Right, and I would say that just know that those numbers that they are showing you, those are estimates at this point. They're starting points because they have to get farther into the details. Mm-hmm. But besides that, I think you all heard from each one of them that even within a month, material prices are changing. And so that's going to be fluid. I think the 15th, there's nothing magical about that as far as I think there's a little bit of flexibility in there. I would just encourage you that at the soonest you're able with everything you got going on, it would be good to make that selection. And then once you've chosen that partner, you still have flexibility into the scope of programming, looking at your budget and making adjustments to the scope if you choose to modify anything. It's just the point of picking your partner, and you're not locked into anything even once you do that.
Okay. I just have one more. This may be another pie in the sky question. So the way we placed that, they gave us quotes for CIS, they gave us quotes for the gym and them both. I had in my head that was at a point in time this board would then look at what those numbers are, look at our financial, you know, future, you know, goal and say, look, we can afford them both. We're all in. We can afford one or the other. And that's kind of what I envision. But let's say we can afford them both. I just was thinking as I was looking and making my notes, when we make a selection, if we picked both, would we just want one of these builders, or could we pick a builder for the gym and a builder for CIS? I know that's going to throw a crazy, but could we do that?
Okay, Eric, Ted, you're up.
I would have to look at the language of the RFP a little closer. Ted, do you know off the top of your head without
reading? I don't know off the top of my head, and I think we'd have to look at the we refer to the AI contract language in there as well, and take a deeper dive into what how that would
play
out.
I think you would believe that you're going to see a savings by having a common builder, because that's why we ask them to price them separately and then combine, because normally when they combine, they have shared resources. So in those general conditions and fees, you're seeing a savings in combining those projects together.
Yeah, I think if you look through the breakdown we gave and you look through their proposals, that their combined fees are less than, and
right, that's
their general conditions are typically a lot less, because then that's their on-site resources that they're sharing. But they all, I think, generally they're the one that sticks out to me, I don't remember who it was, but definitely said our fee is 2%. If it's individual, it's 1.75 if they're combined. And I think they all kind of went along that tack.
Right. Well, one of them was 5% of, and the only reason I asked wasn't based on pricing, but I actually like different elements of what they proposed on different, and I wrote my notes. So that I also will send back with my rating forms, because I don't know how we can share ideas to as we get along.
And Bernadette, I'm just going to, only because I've been through three building projects, as a treasurer, I wouldn't want to do that. that way you have one contact, you have one CM, you have the same person. They're the guys in charge of making sure all their subs. So when you end up doing both, that's just my opinion. Okay. You guys that do this all the time can, but as the treasurer, I wouldn't suggest that, because then you end up with, you need this list of where we're at on the bid, where your pricing is, then the treasurer, there's a lot of work on the fiscal end of it, of keeping track of the budget. I know I've never done the lease purchase. Mine's all been OSFC. So that was a lot of time, but I, and Todd would probably go crazy dealing with two different people all the time.
Okay.
Bernadette, I would say, I think I know where your thought process is on that. I go back to what we said at the beginning, is that what you're really looking at here is picking a partner that you're comfortable moving forward with. And once they're on board, sharing ideas.
Okay.
In that form, in those initial meetings is completely fine. And that's really the way the process is supposed to work. So.
Okay. That helps me. Thank you.
Yep. People steal our ideas all the time, so.
Thank you.
Keep those in mind, Bernadette. All right, ladies and gentlemen, how are we set? Do we have any more issues, questions, comments from the board, folks?
No, as long as we have that conversation one day about the finances before we go all the way, I think we'll be good.
It's impossible to move on without having it.
Absolutely.
Yes. And I do believe we're trying to get there as fast as we possibly can and do it correctly. So
absolutely.
All right. Well, I'm ready to call it quits, folks, if everyone else is agreeable. I don't quite know. Ted and Eric, I so appreciate the work you've put into this. I've been through one OFCC project in my lifetime, and one is enough for me. It was truly a unique experience. So I'm ready to call to adjourn if the board has no, if a board member does not have any other questions. All right, Eric, Ted, thank you. And Ted, thank you for getting back to me so quickly and efficiently on Friday. I certainly appreciate that.
Certainly. Thank you.
Kind of a last-minute situation there, but thank you very much. So I will make a motion, and therefore, ladies and gentlemen, I will need a second, please, to adjourn.
Second.
Thank you. And let's do a voice vote, if we will. All in favor, say aye, please.
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. All opposed? Thank you. The ayes have it. We are officially finished with our board meeting at 8:37, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for your participation. It was a good time. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody. Have a good night. You, Sean.
Good night.
Night, Chief.